Good morning. It is good to see everybody here on this beautiful May Sunday. And in case you were afflicted by the rain and storms of yesterday, it looks like they are past now and we can rejoice in the Lord's creation. I don't know about y'all, we lost power for about 2 hours last night, and my alarm clock didn't go off till nearly 7 o'clock this morning, and I was afraid that the local constabulary was going to want to have a prayer meeting with me on the way over here, but the Lord kept the Georgia State Patrol at bay, so here we are, and we're going to proceed as if nothing terrible has happened. A few announcements. Today is Sue Spivey Sunday. And she's sitting back there in the amen corner as usual. And in just a moment, we're going to have, you have a corsage? Is that what that is? Oh. It's good. Well, it is not any more beautiful than you. So, oh. I'm not getting into an argument with you today. I first met Sue when there was a flood over near Somerville, or Sumville as they call it there. And I was working with PDA, and I brought up our emergency management director from Floyd County, and we came and met the new fella up here who wasn't supposed to even start his job until a week later. And Sue was instrumental in helping us get everything organized, setting up the warehouse. And I believe it was even Sue who got the prisoners to come from Hayes State Prison, was it? And you had somebody you knew. Was it a resident of the prison or? But I'd never seen, corrections officers with automatic weapons before, and it said something about the quality of the clientele we had pressed into service to unload trucks. But and then somebody later told me, well, Mackenzie, they were there for you, so. I'm going to ask in just a moment for the moderator of our presbytery, Bill Byers, ruling elder Bill Byers, to come and say a word. And there you come. You can be as long as you want. I can edit the sermon.
It is good to be with you on this special day. I am Bill Byers, ruling elder at Westminster in Rome. And I am humbled and honored to serve as moderator as presbytery for this year. And on behalf of our general presbyter, Wilson Kennedy, our stated clerk, Teresa Howell, and your 3,000 brothers and sisters worshiping in many different places in one spirit, I bring you greetings from Cherokee Presbytery. When our son was in middle school, he had to do a book report on the book called Alchemist. And many of you have probably read it. It's a story about it. Young man's reflection back on his journey of discovery. And he recounts the many intersections of life, and it essentially asks the question that all of us have, how did I get here? And during the book, he reflects on his intersections and the mentors and the people he met along the way that got him to where he needed to be. So for me, Sue Spivey is one of those people I met at an intersection. She has been a mentor and encourager. I love to be around her and sense her spirit. And it's kind of fitting that you're honoring her today, because one of the most important intersections I've had with Sue is she was our Synod Commissioner for many years. And she handed off that duty to me. So I got to follow in the footsteps of Sue Spivey, and that's a big deal. So my term as Synod Commissioner ends this year. So as I reflect back on how did I get here, Sue Spivey brought me here. So on this special day, I encourage you to reflect on your intersections with Sue. And I know that she has been an encourager to you. She has been an influence in your life and your faith, and her strong witness and service and belief in Jesus Christ has been an influence to all of us. So Sue Spivey, thank you. Enjoy the day.
And someone suggested that Sue might want to come up here and defend herself against all these accolades and compliments which we are throwing your way, but I'm not going to give you that opportunity. You may do it at lunch following worship today. Everybody's invited to come and partake in our lunch, fellowship lunch. And Sue, you may not pay for lunch today, okay? I'm picking up your tab, because you've picked it up for me so many times. You have announcements in the bulletin. Please be sure to pay attention to all of those. And let us now come and worship the Lord as we exchange the peace of our Lord. The peace of Jesus Christ be with you. So with you. Let us greet each other.
Please stand for the call to worship. Come, let us worship the Lord.
The Lord is the source of our unity.
The Lord is the source of our love.
The Lord is the source of our hope.
The Lord is the source of our lives.
The Lord is the source of all that is.
Knowing that the Lord is the source of all that we shall ever be, let us worship God. And let us pray. King of the heavens, your children on earth adore you. You have called us out of the dark to live in your light. You have called us out of the division to live in unity. You have given us the gift of your Son to bring us into your presence. Help us, we pray, to worship you with the fullness of our hearts and the joy of their spirits. You may be seated. You may be seated. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together, first in silence. Praying first in silence. And together we pray. In the midst of unity, we sow division, where you call us to love. We find reasons for hatred. In the light of your grace, we distrust about us. Heal us of ourselves, we pray, and bring us into your perfect union, where strife, envy, pride, and anger are all more. Amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel.
Do we have my loyal duo here? Oh, look, Haynes has a cape on. And where is Hannah this morning? See what? What'd you say?
She's at a golf course.
Oh, raising up right early, are we? I tell you what, at a golf course. Well, you know, I played golf for 23 years, and I never broke 100, honestly. I broke it dishonestly a few times, but such is the nature of golf. All golf really did for me was to thin out my wallet and broaden my vocabulary. But, well, what you got there? Is that your sports blanket? It's just a blanket. Well, it's got baseball gloves and basketballs and soccer balls and footballs.
That does not mean it's a sports blanket.
That doesn't mean it's a sports blanket. Okay, it's just a blanket. You know, sometimes I have to be careful about putting too much into things that I don't really need to gussy up. Sometimes when we are in our lives, when we're growing up, we have things that help us along the way. Does your blanket help you? Is it nice to have? Yeah, it makes you feel good and warm and safe and loved. That is absolutely great. I used to have a bear. And you know what? I've still got it. My grandfather told me it was too nice for me to play with, and so he put it up on the top shelf of a bookcase. And I never got to hold it or play with it until my grandfather died. And I inherited the bear, and I've still got it. And you know what? Even though I couldn't play with it, it made me feel good and warm and loved because I knew that bear was there. Kind of like God. I always know God is there, even when God seems out of reach sometimes. God kind of enfolds me like a blanket and makes me feel good and warm and loved and safe. And so I hope that that blanket makes you feel that way, and I hope God makes you feel that way too, okay? Let's pray together. Holy God, we thank you for the things that make us feel safe. For the people who make us feel safe, and for you, you enfold us like a blanket, and you remind us that you love us. So bless and keep us, we pray, by the power of Jesus our Lord. Amen. We'll see you next Sunday.
a stone horse. As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Eternal God, whose word silences the shouts of the world, quiet within us every voice but your own, speak to us through the embracing love of Jesus Christ, that we may receive his grace and live in his hope. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 45. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have grasped to subdue nations before him, and to strip kings of their robes, to open doors before him. And the gate shall not be closed. I will go before you and level the mountains. I will break in pieces the doors of bronze and cut through the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and riches hidden in secret places, so that you may know that it is I, the Lord, the God of Israel, who call you by your name. For the sake of my servant Jacob and Israel, my chosen, I call you by your name. I give you a title, though you do not know me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no other besides me. There is no God. I arm you, though you do not know me, so that you may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is no one besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I form light and create darkness. I make weal and create woe. I, the Lord, do these things. Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Acts, chapter 1. Listen for God's word. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come down upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying. Peter and John, James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, Judas the son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. This was the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Thank you, choir. Y'all didn't see it since you have your gaze fixed upon the chancel, but while they were singing, there was a light show going on up there in the choir loft, and don't know what that was all about. I thought maybe the lights were coming on and off in rhythm with the music, but no, I think we just have some kind of a critter up there, maybe. But thank you so much. Your steadfastness and perseverance is greatly appreciated. Our gospel lesson today is taken from the gospel according to St. John, reading from the 17th chapter, verses 1 through 11. Jesus is still in the upper room with the disciples in this context. This is his part of his farewell discourse to them before his passion. Hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave me, I have given to them, and they have received them and know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. With grateful hearts, O Lord, we receive your word, which brings life to our weary souls and hope to our darkest days. Help us to receive this word which comes from you through our Lord Jesus Christ. May we believe and know and live as those who are called to the perfect unity in you, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, in case you missed it, this past Thursday, it was the day of the Ascension of the Lord. For those of us who keep track of the liturgical calendar, it is a holy day of obligation among our Episcopal and Roman Catholic friends, and that means you have to go to church. Now, we Presbyterians, we're not quite that up on the liturgical calendar yet. We used to never pay any attention to it, but now over the last 20 or 30 years, it's becoming increasingly important, for we find our unity with our Christian brothers and sisters as we worship along the same lines. Now, unity is a difficult topic for most of us Christians. We tend to confuse unity with uniformity. In other words, in unity, we bring all of our gifts to bear, all of our different abilities, all of our different colors and races and creeds. We come together under one umbrella, and that is unity.
Uniformity is a little bit different because uniformity involves the use of what I like to call quality control people. You know them. They're the ones who say who's in and who's out. I have been kicked out of more organizations than I care to think about because I didn't meet the quality of personnel that they really wanted. In fact, some of those organizations that won't have me, I'm very proud to say I'm an ex-member of. You learn to embrace disappointment in this profession. Unity and uniformity. Jesus Christ here is talking about the blessings of unity. He doesn't want us all to be cookie cutter Christians. He wants us to bring our God-given gifts to this assembly, which is the body of Christ. And unlike the quality control people, we recognize that when one person is missing, we are all the poorer for it. You know, I consider Sue Spivey one of my good friends because she understands this concept of unity. When you serve at the local church and the presbytery level and the synod level, you see all manner of Presbyterians, and you learn that you can't really define what a Presbyterian is because we're all considerably different, and we embrace that. For those of you who don't know, the Presbyterian Church is made up of four distinct governing bodies. You have the session, you have the presbytery, you have the synod, and you have the General Assembly. And some people would say that the General Assembly is the source from which all wickedness comes. I want to disavow you of that notion if you hold it. Now that we have split amongst our various churches and presbyteries and synods and even part of the General Assembly, we can sit back and catch our breath and focus on the things that unite us instead of the things that divide us. And that is a very important lesson to learn. I served on Synod Council for a number of years, and like Sue, I can tell you, Presbyterians are more identified by their lack of uniformity than by anything else. My little church down in Bainbridge, Georgia, was known as the place where all the misfits of the community could come and find a home. All the crazy people found their way to the Presbyterian Church, and I finally asked a few of them, why did you choose this as your church home? And they said, nobody else would have us. Being a Presbyterian is everybody's favorite second choice. You don't know what you want to be, you become a Presbyterian. We're glad to have you come and be a part of the menagerie of madness that is us. We embrace it. That's who we are. Jesus did not prescribe uniformity. He prescribes unity in this passage. If you go to our epistle lesson from Acts, Jesus gives the last words to the disciples before he is assumed into heaven. And when he is assumed into heaven, they're standing there looking heavenward. And these two angels show up and say, why are you staring up into the sky? Which is another way of saying, you have work to do down here. Quit staring at the sky. The same way he went, he will come again. And by the way, you don't know when, where, or how, and you never will. That's one of the problems I run into with the quality control people. They think that they know the day and the hour and the place of the second coming of Jesus Christ, and they think that everybody has to be, groomed up to look like a Christian for when Jesus comes again. And only they know what a Christian is supposed to look like. Our work is not found in casting our eyes toward heaven. That is looking to the past. That is making a monument to a moment. That is not our calling. Our calling is to take our eyes off the heavens and the glory thereof and to see the mud that is on our feet and to go about proclaiming the love of God, which brings all of us under this big umbrella. You know, when you finally give up the idea that you have to be a quality control expert, when you give up the idea that somehow you have to be a branch manager in the kingdom of God, it really frees you up. It frees you from this idea that we've got to tweak everybody else and leave ourselves alone. It frees you up to experience God's presence and God's movement among God's people everywhere. It moves you from being a manager to being a devoted observer. That's what God calls us to be. This unity we have is a very elusive one, mostly because we never really know what God is up to. The only thing that helps us to see where God is to look out from this perch right here. One of the great honors of being a pastor is you get to see the hand of God moving in the members of the church. It's hard to see that from sitting in the midst of the congregation, but let me assure you, He's hard at work in your lives. He's hard at work in every moment you have, in every breath you take. I'm honored to see it from up here. And I encourage you to pause and look among the members of this church and see the hand of God moving in this elusive unity which is ours. Wonderful chapters are about to open here. It's important that we celebrate Sue, who has brought so much grace and love and inspiration to these walls and others. It's important for us to use that example as we observe the hand of God moving in our midst. Sue, you can defend yourself at lunch, but for right now, I get the final word. God bless you and keep you and make His face to shine upon you and give you peace now and always. And to those of us who are gathered here to thank her for her work, remember, she is but an instrument of Almighty God, bringing to us fellowship and love, instruction, sometimes correction, and always the gift of grace. Let us pray. Eternal God, you have given us this elusive unity in which we celebrate our differences, for therein lies our strength. Your Holy Spirit calls us to the work of the kingdom. May we, your children, find within ourselves the resources, the grace, and the manifold gifts of the Spirit, which call us to work together in joy and in love. Through Jesus our Lord. Amen.
And together let us declare that which we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. Children of God, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Let us unite our hearts and minds together in prayer before the Lord. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father and our King, we thank you for the wonders of these days. These sometimes dangerous opportunities, which we call crisis. Send, we pray, your wisdom upon our leaders at the local, the state, the national, and international levels. Bring about, we pray, the peace which you have already designed and declared for your world. And help us to be participants in your providence, the providence you have already established. Help us to open our eyes and see, O Lord, where you are already at work in our families, in our work, in our associations, in our churches. Help us to know where you are and grant us the discernment that calls us to action. Eternal God, there are those of our community, state, and nation who this day are hungry, hungry for food, for shelter, for companionship, for justice. Help us to discern where they are and grant that we may be your agents of compassion. And may we be always a people of compassion and hope, spreading even in the darkness the light that is Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy, and grant that our prayers and your power may be joined into a mighty force. We ask this through the name and by the power of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who taught us when we pray to pray boldly, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us receive our tithes and our offerings as we present them to the Lord. With grateful hearts, O Lord, we receive a portion of that which you first entrusted to us. Multiply by your grace these gifts that your world and your word may be expanded, and strengthen our hearts in the giving. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now go forth from this place in peace. rejoicing in what unites us and not worrying so much about what divides us. For what unites us is the joy and the presence of Jesus Christ our Lord. In the name of the Father who created us, the Son who came down to be among us, and the grace of the Holy Spirit, which is sufficient for us all. Amen.